I'd ask you to please turn with me to the portion of scripture that our brother read to us this morning in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 2 and verse 23. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered? And he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat from, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now we continue this morning in our study of the Gospel of Mark. We're seeking to see some precious truths from the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and some of his remarkable and wonderful miracles and acts of compassion as he lived that perfect life of obedience to his Father in heaven. And we come this morning to the subject of the Sabbath day, or the Lord's Day. And I want to begin this morning by laying down some biblical principles regarding the Sabbath day, what is now known among us as Christians as the Lord's Day. Now, the key guide to the interpretation of the verses before us that we have in the Gospel of Mark and our whole approach to the Sabbath day is found in verses 27 to 28, which we've just read together. And he said unto them, that is Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, as New Testament Christians, we seek to follow the example and teaching of our Lord. A Christian is someone who actually worships Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Savior of their sin, through whom they find forgiveness and reconciliation with God. But that's not where it ends. A true Christian is somebody who then continues by faith to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. They know that he is faithful toward them. They know that the Lord Jesus Christ is true. They've proved him to be just. They've proved him to be understanding. They've proved him to be compassionate. Oh yes, we also have proved him to be almighty, almighty to save, almighty in prayer, or wise in all his ways, the one in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we know that our Lord came to fulfill God's law perfectly, and therefore the Lord kept the Sabbath day. He kept it holy, for he is holy. The Lord understood fully what it meant to keep the Sabbath day holy, according to God's holy commandment, wherein we read, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, as we look at the example of our Lord, we know that he worshipped in the synagogue on the Lord's day. For our Lord, it was a day which he called a delight. It was a day of worship. We know also that he read the scriptures in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We also know that he preached on the Sabbath day. And in the portion of scripture that we have before us this morning, we also know that our Lord took a walk with his hungry disciples through the cornfields. There was a time of relaxation. There was a time of rest. And he allowed them to pick grain on the Sabbath day. We also know from our scripture reading in Gospel of Mark 3 that our Lord did acts of mercy on the Lord's Day. He did wonderful deeds of goodness. In the passage we are told he healed the man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. On another occasion, we know that our Lord healed a man, telling him to take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath day. On another occasion, we read that the Lord Jesus made clay on the Sabbath day to anoint a blind man's eyes to heal him. And so the Lord taught here also in our verses that we have just read a vital principle, that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Now, in Scripture, we are told that the Sabbath is, in fact, first of all, one of God's creation ordinances. The Lord rested on the seventh day of the first week of creation. He set a weekly pattern for man. Our Creator God knows his creation, and he knows that we need one day in seven as a day set apart. A day set apart to be a different day than the other days of the week, a day of rest. Now, this can be proven many times over the history, and I can speak here from personal experience, even in a practical way. When I was the chairman of a group of printing companies, we used to assess the production targets and how productive each particular factory was. One of the things we realized that the men needed and the women needed a day's rest. They needed a day, one day a week, to come apart, rest a while, and in so doing, when they came back on the Monday, they were much more productive. They were fresher, generally speaking. Now, when the company was sold and I was called into the ministry full time, the company that bought our factory, it became a public limited company, the business, and he went into the Financial Times and he said, Crispus made so much with the company, they made so much working 6 days a week. I'm going to show him how to make much more money working 7 days a week. And that's on record. It's in the print. And he made a boast that if you forget all about God's commandments, it's not irrelevant to me. I don't need to have take any notice of this 1 day a week off for my men and women. I can get it all working 7 days a week. We'll be much more productive. We'll make much more money. But in fact, the opposite happened. After 2 years, they found that they were less productive. They made a lot less money. And in the end, he had to sell the company at a third of his price because he challenged God. Now, that was an exceptional situation. God doesn't always lay his hand on a situation and prove his word in that way, but it happened in that particular instance. And I mention it because I can speak from experience. And not only for our souls, but also practically, we need to understand that when God commands the Sabbath day, he does it for our good. It's not to be a burden for us. It's not to lay something heavy upon us. Our loving Heavenly Father is commanding something for our good, physically and spiritually, knowing our whole being. So the Sabbath day, the day of rest, is a gift from God. Think of it positively. This is God's gift to you. It's a gift for our spiritual blessing. It's a gift for our mental rest. It's a gift for our physical restoration, friends. But in the Lord's day, in Jesus' day, when he was speaking these words and this event happened, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they had developed a terrible burdensome list of do's and don'ts for the Sabbath day. There are actually, friends, over 1,000 regulations for the Sabbath day and how you got to live without breaking it. And so the Sabbath day for the ordinary people like me and like you in those days was a day to be dreaded. All the older people dreaded it, the younger people dreaded it, the children dreaded it. And instead of the Sabbath day being a delight, it had become a burdensome, oh, this is the day when we can hardly breathe. And they'd laid these regulations heavy on the people. And the Lord spoke to them on another occasion about this, about the sin of laying such burdens on the people that they cannot bear them. But the scripture teaches us that the Lord desires his people to enjoy the Sabbath day and to call it a delight. Oh, friends, let it be so for us, that we might call the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, a delight. We need to be very positive about the Sabbath day, now known to us as the Lord's day. Now then, so we're looking at some principles then. Let's just hasten on. First of all then, it is a creation ordinance. It's God's command for us. A day of rest is all part of God's creative ordinance, and it goes right back to Genesis, right back to the very beginning. Secondly, it is part of the moral law of God. The commandment of God, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And it's a day set apart by God for the benefit of his creation, of his people, of all creation, actually, the Lord's, whom the Lord created. It is a gift from God that remains for man's spiritual and physical well-being. It was kept by the Lord properly to fulfill all the law perfectly. It was a day on which works of mercy and works of necessity and essential services are to be continued. So we have among our dear friends and members in this church and congregation people who are nurses and doctors and carers. And of course, they don't say, well, on the Sabbath day, oh, it's a Sabbath day, so we just forget about people. No, they follow the example of the Lord Jesus. If there's people in need, they'll care for them. They have to care for them. We understand that, and we should pray for them in their places of work at such a time on the Sabbath day. Well, friends, so, and then it also is to be called a delight, a delight. And we're going to look at how it is we're going to be able to call the Sabbath a delight. How is it we can call the Sabbath a delight? But then I want to look at some of the purposes of the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest from the work responsibilities of the world. It's a day devoted to the worship of God. But also, friends, it's a day for our personal spiritual blessing and sanctification. We need the Lord's day. We need to come and hear God's word. What is God saying to us today from his word? Oh, how many times we find it that God speaks to us in our experience. There's something that's happened in the week and God touches us through his word and it helps us or it corrects us or it comforts us or it counsels us. Oh, it's a day for blessing. It's a day to serve the Lord. But then there's another very important reason for the Sabbath day. It's a day which foreshadows the eternal rest, which is accomplished through the redemption of Christ Jesus in heaven. You know, heaven is like a never-ending Sabbath day. Now, for some of you here this morning, that might not sound very positive. If you're not a believer and you think, wow, I don't really want to be here this morning. And if heaven's just like a Sabbath day for all eternity, I'm not sure. Well, that's how we think as unbelievers. But believers, those that know something of the spiritual blessing of the Lord in their souls, and they realize that this is a wonderful time of blessing, and the Sabbath day is a little taste of heaven on earth, oh, they look forward to this rest, this perfect rest, this spiritual rest, this wonderful rest. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Oh, you've come into work something to the Lord's house this morning. Perhaps some of you are worried about the coming week. There's important meetings, there's situations that you've got to go through, and you're worried, perhaps you're concerned. You've come in and you've got all sorts of burdens upon your mind because of the past week. Oh, friends, this is a day of anticipation. It's not always going to be like this. The Lord's people have got an eternal rest to look forward to. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we exercise that belief. Oh, there is a certain laboring of the believer. We're in that laboring time. But it's not always going to be like this. There's an eternal rest to the people of God. Oh, the Sabbath day is very significant for us. It's a day of testimony whereby you can demonstrate also your obedience and your loyalty to the Lord. God has given you this day. And as you come to worship God in his house, you're saying to the world, actually, in my life, I want to worship God. It's important that a day is set apart in my life. But then also, it's not only a day of loyalty. It's also to be a day of which we can include, we trust, some rest, fellowship, and hospitality, wherein we open our homes to have people for lunch and tea, and we can enjoy hospitality. And it is the Lord's day that a Christian is to keep as unto the Lord for his glory and for their own benefit. But now I want to move on to look at how the keeping of the Sabbath day in the New Testament Christian context, which is where we are this morning, how it moved from the seventh day of the Old Testament Sabbath, that's where Jesus is speaking about here, the seventh day, why did it move to the first day of the week? Why don't we still keep the Sabbath day like the Jews still keep the Sabbath day? Why do we keep the Sabbath day as now the Lord's day, this special day on the first day? Well, we know through the account in the Acts of the Apostles that they actually used the Jewish Sabbath day as a Christ-centered evangelistic opportunity to the Jews. Now, they knew that the Jews gathered at the synagogues, gathered at the temple, and they would use that Sabbath day as an evangelistic gospel opportunity to preach the gospel. And we read of Paul would go weekly, week by week by week, to the synagogue to reason with the Jews. But they also had another day, the first day of the week, set apart particularly for a day of worship. And that was the first day of the week. And it was to call then at that time, became to be known as the Lord's Day, the day that we know as Sunday. But why on the first day of the week? Why was this change made? It's very important for us as we sometimes have to explain to people, why don't we keep the seventh day, the Sabbath day? Why have we changed it? Well, I'm going to give you some of the reasons for this. First of all, it is the day, the first day of the week, wherein the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taketh away from the sepulchre. Christ has risen again on the third day. And so for us, the Lord's day is a day of hope. It's a day of victory. We look up. Our Lord is risen again. We do not worship a dead Savior. We worship a living Savior. Secondly, the Lord appeared to the assembled disciples on the first day of the week. He didn't appear on the seventh. He appeared on the first day of the week. We read, and the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. The Lord chose the first day of the week, the day that he was risen again. And then we read, he did this again. There was a second appearance of Jesus to the assembled disciples again on the first day of the week. And after 8 days, meaning the first day of the next week, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said unto you, Peace be unto you. And so on two occasions, the Lord chose the first day of the week to appear to the disciples. And then the first day of the week then became one of the symbols of the Christian faith, testifying to hope and life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was significant, but it showed a separation from the old Jewish Old Testament way. This was a New Testament way. It looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have one of the very first accounts of a worship service in the Acts of the Apostles, which included preaching and the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we read, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That was the first day of the week, a worship service. And then we read of instructions given to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, the apostle is saying, look, when you gather together on the first day of the week, let there be a collection. A collection that you might give of the way the Lord has prospered you, that you might give to the poor. And so Paul was making reference here to the normal weekly gathering together of the church. When everyone gathers together on the first day of the week, have this collection. But then finally, the Lord's Day. Why did it become known as the Lord's Day? Well, we read in Revelation 1 verse 9, and John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day. And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Oh, the apostle John had been banished to the Isle of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus Christ in his life. And here we are considering an apostle filled with the Holy Spirit of God, receiving a vision. John had personal fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, while here upon earth. And now the Lord is revealing himself to John in a vision and his purposes to John in a vision. And when did the Lord appear to John? Just like previously after his resurrection, he appeared on the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day, the first day of the week. Once again signifying his recognition of this day of the week. And from the early writings of the early church fathers who followed the apostles, it becomes apparent that the Lord's Day was the day of the week in which the Christians uniquely in a pagan society set aside the day to worship the Lord. Oh, but the Lord's Day was a serious business for those early New Testament Christians. Oh, they suffered for their worship services. They were persecuted. They were thrown to the lions. But they still met together on the Lord's Day. It meant so much to them. And they were truly blessed. It was truly a delight. It wasn't a bind to them. It was a special day, not a burdensome day. It was a day of joy and gladness spiritually. And here they have the principle then of liberty on the Lord's Day, freedom on the Lord's Day, to enjoy and use the Sabbath in the right way as taught by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is Lord of the Sabbath. And so we come this morning, just in the second part of our message, to see how the Lord Jesus spoke twice against the Pharisees, one in relation to the criticism of the disciples plucking ears of corn, and secondly, in the healing of the man with a withered hand. And we read those verses together, verses 23 to 28. And here the disciples were doing something which was allowed in the Mosaic law. That was to pluck the head of corn with your hand, and you were allowed to do that as you walk through a field to take some for yourself. It was part of the tradition and the allowable freedom given to people walking through the fields of corn. But here, the disciples were doing this on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees didn't believe you must do anything which would anything like constitute work. And here they were in a critical spirit. They were watching for trouble, and they were spying on the Lord Jesus and his disciples. And they see them walking along with Jesus, and they were probably having a chat, you know, chatting quite cheerfully among themselves. Oh, it would have been a profitable conversation, but the Lord Jesus was there. He was pure and holy, but it would have been an enjoyable one. It would have been a relaxing time. They would have had perhaps smiles on their faces. They were enjoying God's creation. It was not to be a burdensome day for them. Oh, the Lord Jesus was ensuring that this day was going to be a delight for them. And they see they're walking along with Jesus, and they didn't have all mournful faces on. They were obviously, it would apparently be so that they were just walking along in a relaxed way with the Lord Jesus, and just having the liberty to pick grains of corn, ears of corn, and sufficing their appetite, which was they were very hungry. And directly the Pharisees see this. They jump on them and they accuse the disciples to the Lord Jesus. Oh, your disciples are working on the Sabbath day. They are plucking the heads of corn. That's reaping. They were rubbing it in their hands, and that is threshing. And they were throwing away the husks, and that is winnowing. And so they were reaping, threshing, and winnowing on the Sabbath day. Oh, your disciples are working. Look at them. But I want us to notice something here, how the Lord Jesus really spoke very straight to the Pharisees. He's saying, look, you must get away from these additional man-made traditions, and you need to get back to the Scripture. You need to get back to the Scripture. And he gives this example of how David, when he was hungry, went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest. He did the showbread, and the showbread was only for the priest to eat. But David was hungry. Was David being rebellious? Was David being disobedient? Was David casting away all respect for God? No. David was hungry. His men were hungry. And they needed something to eat. And David believed God to be a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of compassion. And when Abiathar realized the situation, David ate of the bread. He wasn't condemned for that. God knew that this was an urgent situation. And mercy prevailed. And Jesus used this example. Just these disciples, they're hungry. They're walking through the field of corn. There's a provision for them. And they eat. And God looks upon this situation with mercy. And he saith unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Well, this was then an act of necessity. God is a God of providence and God of grace and God of mercy. David's need is met in God's compassion. He was blessedly assured that God knew his need. He was in the will of the Lord. The law of love ruled over all. Now Jesus, who is holy and perfect and Lord of all, including the Sabbath, defended his disciples in their action against the Pharisees. He was their advocate, defending them against their accusers. The Pharisees, therefore, were wrong to attack the disciples in their assessment of breaking the Sabbath. And then secondly, in Mark chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6, where we read of the healing of the man with the withered hand. And the second attack by the Pharisees then is centered on, would Jesus heal a man who was sick on the Sabbath day? Because that would have been work on the Sabbath day. Well, here Jesus teaches us it is always the right time to be kind and compassionate. Whatever day of the week, it's always the right time to be kind and considerate. So if somebody's in need, or if their car's broken down or something like that, we don't say, oh, it's a Sabbath day, I can't help you. We do all we can to help someone. If there's a genuine need, we are to do acts of compassion and mercy on the Lord's day. Jesus is teaching from the Word of God, perfect truth spoken in love and in authority. Alongside him was a man. He was sitting down with a withered hand. No doubt he was looking to Jesus for healing. Was Jesus going to walk by him and say, it's the Sabbath day, I can't do any work, you're going to have to stay in that condition as I walk by you? No. But we also know that Jesus knew the hardness of the Pharisees. This is something very solemn. In verse 5 of chapter 3, and when he looked around and about on them with anger, he was righteously angry, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, we see here that the Lord Jesus knows our hearts. He knows if we're becoming so legalistic in our thinking and becoming hard in our thinking toward, and love is going out of the window and it's being replaced with all these rules and regulations. And in another account of one of the other Gospels, we know that Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thinking. And this is very solemn. In the Gospel of Luke, he knew their thinking. And so God knows your thinking this morning. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what your thoughts are this morning. And here he commands the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. And the Pharisees were so angry, and they went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. How they might destroy him. Now, the Lord Jesus made the comparison between good and evil, saving life or killing life. And that's a very important principle for us. As we look at the Sabbath day, are we doing good or are we doing evil? Are we helping people or are we killing people spiritually? In other words, just saying, I'm not really concerned about you at all. Are we using the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, positively, wholesomely? This is why, for example, Sunday school is good. It's something we can do wholesomely on the Lord's Day. I'm not saying we limit children's work just to the Lord's Day, but it's very good to have it on the Lord's Day because we are really going some way to fulfilling the desire of the Lord for us on his day. We're doing something wholesome. We're caring, showing love, compassion for those in need. Well, the Pharisees were so angry because Jesus was disturbing their lives. He was disturbing their thinking. He was disturbing their consciences. He was disturbing their traditions. He was disturbing their security. The Sabbath was not about rules and regulations, but about worship, about service, about rest, about renewal, about restoration. And that is the way we keep it holy. Yes, it is a different day. We are to have a day of rest. We are to stop secular work and activities. That is right if it's not a caring profession. That is right. But we're not left with a big hole, a list of do's and don'ts, so that it becomes a burdensome day. We call it a delight. It's for our benefit. It's for our soul's benefit. It's for our wholesome benefit. And Jesus is challenging the Pharisees. Tell me what is wrong with healing on the Sabbath day. He is saving life. They are destroying life. They are destroying the Sabbath day. They are making it to be so burdensome. But Jesus is saving life. Well, as they look around him, look at him, and he looks around at them all, he commands the man to stretch forth his hand, and his hand was restored. And what is this telling us about this morning? What is this teaching us about the Lord Jesus this morning? It's telling you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ has not come to kill, but to make alive. He's not come to do evil, but to do good. He's come to restore life. He's come to heal. And in him we can call the Sabbath a delight. A Christ-centered Sabbath becomes a delight for us. And what Jesus did for this man physically, he can do for you spiritually this morning. Oh, maybe you've come into the Lord's house today and you are withered. A withered person. Like this man had a withered hand. You might feel withered. Withered in your life, maybe. Maybe it's been a really difficult week for you, and perhaps you've not handled things as you might, and maybe you feel your life to be a bit withered. You feel to be shriveled up inside. And sin has created bitterness in your life, and you've become all withered up in your heart. Just like the psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Our lives are withered by sin. And that's where Satan wants us to be, withered. But the Lord invites us to come to him. Stretch forth thine hand. Come by faith to him. Stretch forth yourself to him by faith this morning, and you will be healed spiritually. Your sins will be forgiven. He is ready to save you. He is willing to save you. He is able to save you. He delights in mercy, whatever day of the week. And Christ has earned the right by his suffering and his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary to be your Savior. He has done what you cannot do. He suffered on your the behalf of needy sinners who put their trust in him. And he satisfied God's justice in our place and in our stead. He is God's way of salvation. And the only way this morning you will ever call the Lord's Day a delight or the Sabbath day a delight is as you see it in Christ Jesus. There's no other way. It's a Christ-centered Sabbath, a Christ-centered Lord's Day, whereby we can call it a delight. Oh, the burden of our sin is rolled away, and we remind ourselves of this on the Lord's Day. Oh, our sin is dealt with, our sin is forgiven in Christ Jesus as we trust in him. We're cleansed, and we have this day of rest, and we're looking forward to that eternal day of rest in glory and in heaven. Oh, friends, The Sabbath is a delight for Christians, and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal rest in heaven. And we come into the sanctuary sometimes, even as believers, with a withered soul. Oh, things have pressed in upon us, and we feel to be withered by sin sometimes. What could be better for us this morning than to look for spiritual restoration in Christ? Look to him. The Sabbath day wherein we look by faith to Christ as the Lord of the Sabbath, and it brings renewed hope. It brings life. It brings restoration. There's hope. There's life in the look at the crucified one. Oh, this is what the Lord's Day reminds us of. And we need it every week. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves, and we need to have this exercise to gather together and be reminded and gather together around God's word and proclaim God's word together in our preaching and meet around God's word and be taught from God's word. We need it week by week by week. Jesus, then, is the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was made for the benefit of man, for the benefit of your soul, and the benefit of your physical well-being. And man is truly benefited, men and women, I mean that together, as we follow the Lord, as we respect the Lord's Day, and we understand that the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. It is then to be a day set apart for worship, for service, for rest from the labors of this world, that as believers in Christ we long to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Our freedom in Christ is actually a willing heart to serve and worship him on a day set apart for the Lord, the Lord's Day. Well, let's turn to our hymn books. We're going to sing our concluding hymn number 45.